Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. And she uses all these skills to address the subjects that we grapple with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Tyler.
How are you doing today?
I am hopeful for a wonderful hour ahead, much needed hour ahead, I think. A healing hour. We'll call it the healing hour.
Great. That makes two of us and a lot of us out there.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because the last few weeks with all that's been going on with the hearings and more allegations, and it seems like more bad news and more trauma and earthquakes and tsunamis. And, you know, my trigger level is very, I don't know if it's very high or very low, that I have been feeling very on edge and easily weepy for the last couple weeks. And just from my own life experiences and things that I've been through, triggered a lot by what's going on with the hearings and what's going on with our process, if it's a due process. And so because I've been feeling this a lot, I assumed that I'm not the only one. And what concerns me is that when we become triggered, when we become kind of re-experiencing the traumas or grief that we've experienced in the past, whether it's from a loss or a traumatic incident or from an event like a natural disaster that kind of always lives in the resources of our mind and in our body, when things happen that re-trigger those feelings, it's tough to know what to do with those feelings, you know, because we do fairly well with people who are struggling in the moment, you know, right after a natural disaster, right after a traumatic event, right after something that has changed their life. We come in with services, we come in with opportunities, but it's down the road, you know, years later for people. For some people, it could be 30 years later that a song or an event or a story re-triggers those feelings that you thought were once buried. And then what do we do with them? You know, we're talking a lot about the power of coming forward and the power of speaking the truth, or the power of being heard and validated 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, and how helpful that is. But that's just one piece of the puzzle, because if you are struggling again with issues that you thought were buried, where do you go for help and support? And what kind of help and support do you actually need? Because it's not immediate crisis intervention. It's actually something on a different level. It's how do I continue to process the truth of my life? Because the thing about counseling and therapy is that quite often people believe that if they just talk it out, the memory or the incident will vanish as if it never happened in your life. But the truth is, the things that happened in our life are part of the story of who we are. And they are forever a part of our journey. And so the challenge is, when those challenging stories come back to the surface, how do we look at them, reprocess them, and then put them someplace back in our memory banks or back into our body and continue on? And so I thought it would be helpful today to talk about some wellness things we can do, some activities, some steps we can take if we're feeling triggered or if we're revisiting old memories that are difficult to process, some things that we can actually do to help our wellness get back on track. Because it's a process of kind of taking back our lives again. Every time we feel like we're off kilter or something throws us off, we need to take active steps to get back on course. So that's where I thought we would go today. And fortunately for me, I have two people in the studio that have a lot of experience in working with trauma and with wellness and helping people who have experienced trauma, grief, loss, collect themselves and collect their lives and make a new story for themselves. So I'm looking forward to having a conversation with Kirsten Rambo, who is the executive director of Stand Strong, which is formerly the Women's Shelter. And then I also have with me Van Carassa, who is the founder of Operation Surf, which it brings surfing experiences to wounded veterans and to help bring some stability and new possibilities for their life moving forward. So the two of them have done wonderful things, and both of their organizations offer opportunities for people to come and experience wholeness again. And because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, it was timely to have Kirsten come in. And they have a wonderful program coming up with Dr. Jackson Katz. We'll talk a little bit about that. And as it just so happens, next week is the Central Coast event of Operation Surf. Veterans are going to be arriving on the 9th, and they'll be here for a week learning to surf and experiencing camaraderie and experiencing a sense of wholeness. So that's where we're going to go today. We'll be opening up the phone lines at some point, and you'll be invited to be part of the conversation at 805-781-3875. You can always find me on my Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, or check out our Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. You can send me an email to Elizabeth@TheReluctantTherapist.com. And you can also listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org. Tyler's great about posting the shows almost immediately as soon as they're off the air. You can go back and listen, send a link to a friend, or you can podcast our show by visiting Apple Podcasts or NPR One. You hit subscribe and the show will be uploaded to listen at your convenience. And if you're there listening to the show, leave us a review, because then that opens up the show for more people to find us, and it'd be great to do that moving forward. So I'm looking forward to this conversation, and we'll be back in a moment to hear their stories.
I wish I could swim like dolphins. Like dolphins can swim, though nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever and ever. Or we can be heroes just for one day.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with The Reluctant Therapist. And my guests today are Kirsten Rambo from Stand Strong and Van Carrazza from Operation Surf. And because I like to focus the show on ordinary people doing extraordinary things, and you're both extraordinary people, I'd like to start off kind of a little bit, talking a little bit about how you found yourself in this position, starting with Kirsten, leading Stand Strong. What was your journey to get you to this place where you are leading the efforts to take care of women and families?
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm really happy to be here. How I found myself here is a little bit of a journey, but I will say I have been doing this work in domestic violence for pretty much my whole career, the past 21 years. I did not experience domestic violence growing up or in my life. I was very fortunate to come from a pretty happy and healthy home. The older you get, especially in my field, the more you realize just how rare that is. I had a family that was very focused on, giving back. And so giving of your time and energy. And so I think I tapped into that. I experienced a sexual assault in college that definitely kind of shaped my worldview, not just that experience, but the aftermath of how that was handled.
Certainly wasn't handled.
Yeah. No, it was handled, but it wasn't handled well. And so that certainly shaped where I am. My sister gave me a book a long time ago, and I don't remember the name of it, but it was about little sisters. My sister's older than me. And there's this line in the book that says something like, little sisters have an overdeveloped sense of fairness and justice. Mm. And I was like, that is so true, because, you just grow up, or in my case, your whole life saying, that's not fair, because she could do everything first. And, it's like, that's not fair. And I think that is actually true. I mean, it's just kind of a funny little book, but I thought, wow, that line really stood out to me. And so I have a very strong orientation toward justice. And that's a big part of informing the work that I have done for the past couple decades.
And where has, because you didn't start in San Luis Obispo, I mean, doing this almost 21 years, what are some of the steps you've taken getting here, agencies that you've worked for?
Yeah, so all of the work I did on this subject previously I did in Georgia. So when I was in graduate school, I started out with a graduate internship at a place that was very similar to the place I work now, that was called the Women's Resource Center to End Domestic Violence, and that was in Metro Atlanta. And then from there, I worked at our state domestic violence coalition, and then I was the executive director of our state commission on family violence, and then I went to the CDC, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and there was a national intimate partner violence project, which is what we also sometimes call domestic violence. And then I was leading that project, and I was there for about 6 years, and I got to do a couple very interesting and rewarding international stints in Africa, one of which was focused on violence against children and young women. So I feel really, really lucky that I've gotten to do this at the local level, at the state level, at the national level, a little bit of international work. And all, like I say, all of it was in Georgia before I came here. And so now I get to experience this work in a really different setting, because I was in a much more urban setting in Atlanta. So I see tons of possibilities here in this area, and also some unique challenges, because this is such a gorgeous place and it's been tagged as the happiest place. And so sometimes we have a challenge just getting people to believe that this happens here.
Right.
And every place is like that, but this place is, it's like somehow even a little harder for people to believe.
We want to hope that we're in this bubble of serenity.
Right.
And so in the 21 years you've been doing this, have you seen awareness grow and improvements in the lives of people who previously were struggling with domestic violence? Has awareness grown in a significant way?
I really think it has. I really think we've made good progress on that. And I think, you know, what we're, the harder thing is getting systems to change. You know, there are judicial system, lots of, you know, legal stuff, court stuff, sometimes medical stuff that is a little more tough to move, the institutions that are hard to move and often very well intentioned, but don't always end up working out well for survivors. Things like housing and how we can get that system to be not punitive for survivors of violence, for instance. So I think the awareness for sure has changed. We've also expanded what people think about when they think about domestic violence, and now we're thinking about prevention, which is really exciting. I know we'll get to that. So I think there has been a lot of movement, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, we do. But the fact that we can come on there and have this conversation, I don't think we would have been having this conversation 20 years ago.
Right.
Because it was so, domestic violence, intimate partner violence was so pushed under the rug that no one wanted to have the conversation because it was too painful.
Right.
And too hard to believe, which we've been hearing a lot in the last couple of weeks. I can't believe that.
Right.
How could that person would never do this.
Right.
And so just the whole idea of getting people to be believed
is
a big step forward.
Yeah, that's always been kind of the core of our work at Stand Strong, where I work now. And long before I got there, that was the focus. And in all my work in this field, everybody's work in this field, that's really at the core, is believing survivors. And you wouldn't believe how powerful that can be and what an impact it can have and how all too rare it is that when people speak up, they're believed. So that's really central for us.
And Van, while we're talking about ordinary people doing extraordinary things, you're no ordinary person by any means, but how did you get to this place of starting Operation Surf? What was your journey?
Well, yeah, thanks for having us, Elizabeth. This is great. It's good to be partnering up with, you know, the Women's Shelter and, you know, domestic violence. And, you know, the believing part is you know, I guess my journey, you know, hearing you share about your beginning is once upon a time, that's what I started about. Yeah, I had a mom and dad and, you know, siblings and all that kind of stuff. But no, that's not really my truth. As I was raised by my father, he got me in the 60s. And, you know, and I was I was always feeling alone, I guess. And so I just tended to go to a lot of things that would, you know, I caused a lot of attention, either good or bad.
Yes.
And it tended out to be a lot more bad. And so the journey for me to get where I am is, you know, it's quite dark. It's not as happy as what you just heard, but the reality is that's the way it was. And so, you know, through the feeling of alone and, you know, and not really being loved, or it may not be the case that I was not loved, but the feeling that I had was that I was alone. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the journey through my starting, you know, I started a journey of what we call, you know, partying, and it turned into a lifestyle. And that lifestyle was very full of, you know, drugs and alcohol, and not the most positive thing, even though I thought I was. Mm-hmm. So I guess my start came through an arrest. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have this, oh, I'm going to start this whole thing. But what happened was, is I got in trouble for being under the influence of a controlled substance. And I went through the court systems from Prop 36, and I started going through the process of personal healing. And as I got, you know, to a place where, I have a sobriety date, you know, clean date of December 16th, 2002. And so when I had 5 years being clean and sober, I wanted to focus on something that was beneficial in my life, was surfing. And so I started my surf school here. And then same year, I started Amazing Surf Adventures for at-risk and underserved youth, because I realized that surfing was really positive for me. So I wanted to give that back to any, you know, any kid that was, you know, going down or had a situation that's just not, you know, that ideal. And if they can experience the healing power of the ocean, like I did, and, you know, the self-reward that, you know, I had received by not getting a judgment from another human being, you know, it was all personal with Mother Nature. And so as I started that, it was, you know, I learned about how selfish I was, and how all I really did was think about what I needed and how am I going to be able to succeed. This is what I need. This is what I need to do. If I only had this, then I'd be okay. And so, you know, just opening up and understanding that the conscious thought of other people and how can I best do God's work, it was basically channeled the opportunity for me to be able to help active duty wounded military. And that's just through relationships. You know, I met, you know, Janice Rasnowski from Operation Comfort in San Antonio, and that's what was the bridge to the Brooke Army Medical Center, which started, you know, the relationship you know, through Rodney Roller here in Pismo Beach, that was a surf instructor for me. And so, you know, I just had the opportunity to give back what was so healing for me. And that's what, through time and experience, you know, it's grown to what it is today. So, you know, I really didn't have no big plan. It was just the feeling of giving back and how could I think about somebody else, you know, because that's what I needed. So that's what I gave.
Well, it's interesting to say at the foundation of both of your stories is this desire to give back, that this really strong feeling that your time was valuable if you were in service of other people. And you kind of glossed over the fact that surfing had been fundamental, even though you had a troubled childhood, surfing had been fundamental to you from a young age, and you'd competed and spent a lot of time surfing. So it's not accidental that you started a surf school and brought surfing to other people, because it'd been such a big part of your life. So here we are today, and both of you have organizations that are giving back and giving opportunities for others to heal. Can we talk a little bit about who's going to, because Operation Surf has their big event, as I mentioned, starting next week, starting on the 9th. Yeah. You're going to have how many veterans coming in?
Well, we're going to have 15 new participants, and we'll have four alumni going through what we call an opportunity tier program for them to start training to be a surf instructor, so they can start giving back to another veteran, you know, through surfing. We'll have three veteran support. They're here to help mentor and share their experience about how it was when they got here. So when the new guy comes, that they have somebody that can share their experience by just seeing a display of uncomfortableness, you know, just to be able to say, hey, you know, I was new and this is the way it was. And, you know, and basically to hear it from somebody else to say, hey, these people are okay, which will allow the walls to come down, to be able to be open to what's about to come their way. And then we have some ambassadors, and the ambassadors are the people that come back. They've been through multiple events that have been veteran support and mentors, and they're, you know, well versed about where we, what we do, where we come from, and then therefore, if there's any media that wants to come back, they're committed to be able to talk to them, because I don't put anybody new in any position that would make them uncomfortable. So we kind of like take care of the opportunity when the media wants to talk to somebody. Like, we have somebody that's not new at it that can share about who we are as a veteran, you know, coming into the program. So,
and how many years have you been doing this?
Well, 2006 is when Rodney first asked me to help AmpServe, you know, and then I was working for Richard Schmidt up in Santa Cruz. And so 2007 and 2008, I helped them do their surfing, you know, teaching them surfing. And then 2009 is when I was able to bring the group out, you know, Janice from San Antonio, and that's when Operation Surf was born.
So almost 10 years.
Almost and 10 years.
So what are some of the benefits you've seen for the veterans who have come and gotten in the water over the years? You know, what are, because I know that there was a Dr. Russell Crawford who worked with you and was trying to show the quantitative power of surf and the healing of being in the water and being able to kind of reclaim their lives. So what are some of the things that you've seen have been happening for the veterans?
Well, one of the first things is they get around other people in the same situation with different paths, and to the, they know that they're not alone going through this challenge. And I thought through the, you know, the power of others, we're able to have the strength to, you know, carry through. And so with that, it's just like I dangle the carrot of surfing. And so mm-hmm. I bring them to surf, but what they do is they meet other people with, you know, compassionate mentorship, to where they're able to, you know, receive, you know, loving care and service from our wonderful volunteers, from, you know, from all of our community aspects of what, you know, come about. And so, you know, it's really about being around Mother Nature and water is mm-hmm. what we do. And so, you know, I say that we, you know, surfing is physical, so you get the endorphins and the dopamines through exercise, and then the spiritual part about being, you know, in the water and Mother Nature, and then the mental part of just, you know, experiencing, you know, those two together gives this mind of ease, because once you get in the water, it takes 100% attention, and so all the drama going around in your life is seemingly temporary erased, and so all you're thinking about is being in the water and learning how to surf, and then the kicker is it's fun.
So you have these wounded veterans that have come back and mm-hmm. are having a hard time finding their way in their own lives. Kind of the return home has been traumatic for mm-hmm. them, whether it's utilizing drugs and alcohol to numb themselves, struggling with PTSD, and having these triggers come back up. The dangled carrot they talk about is surfing. It gives them something to focus on to help address the things they're struggling with. And it's interesting because in Dr. Crawford's work, he states that you, just in participating in Operation Surf, there's a 36% decrease in PTSD symptoms and a 36% decrease or 47% decrease in depression mm-hmm. symptoms, and then a 68% increase in self, no, I think it was higher than that, it was 86% increase in self-efficacy, which to me feels like the key, that when people feel traumatized, when they feel like part of them has been stripped away, it's reclaiming yourself and your soul, which tends to be the biggest challenge. If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guests today are Van Carassa from Operation Surf and Kirsten Rambo, executive director of Stand Strong, formerly the Women's Shelter. I wonder how long we'll have to say formerly the Women's Shelter until Stand Strong comes to the forefront. But talking about self-efficacy and mm-hmm. what you see at Stand Strong, what are some of the services you offer and what kind of women do you serve? Who do you see coming into your facility?
Yeah, we see all kinds of people. And about the name change, part of the reason that we changed our name is because folks thought that we only provided shelter and that we only served women. And actually, we serve anybody who's been affected by intimate partner violence and child abuse and we know that intimate partner violence or domestic violence mostly happens to women. So that's, in terms of adults, we mostly serve women. We serve a lot more kids than I think people realize. And we do a lot more than shelter. So shelter is a very crucial part of what we provide. But it's about 10% of our clients that come to our safe house, which means 90% of our clients never go there. So what are they doing? They are coming to us for counseling, which is our biggest program that I'd love to talk about. We also have a legal program that helps with civil matters related to the abuse, whether restraining order, divorce, custody, that kind of thing. We have a transitional housing program that's longer term housing for our clients. We have a Latina program specific to folks who are primarily Spanish speakers. We have lots of different – we have children's services program. We provide counseling in the schools, Slow Coastal. So there's a lot of things that we're doing. I would say I think what's probably most relevant to this conversation right now is our counseling program. We provide individual counseling and group counseling for children – teens and adults. And there are lots of different ways of providing that counseling. So some of it is talk therapy. And then we're very fortunate. We have our counselors, many of them are still finishing up their graduate training or they've recently finished it. And so they are really up to date on sort of what the latest and greatest best practices are. And there's so much out there, as I'm sure you know, better than I do, around just really innovative kind of therapies. And so much of it has to do with integrating the mind and the body, which is so important for trauma survivors. And I think, Van, it really speaks to what you're doing. And it has to do with integrating nature and integrating what's your bodily experience of the trauma that you've had and how can you process that, not just, you know, one-on-one sitting on the sofa talking through it, which is also important, but are there ways you can sort of process that through your bodily experience in ways that feel safe and help you to kind of integrate those experiences, if that makes sense?
It does. Well, and you, I think what I wanted to focus on today, which you touched on, is when people are triggered, when they're experiencing the trauma again, when they feel like they don't know where to go with these feelings, you know, surfing is one avenue. Art therapy, I think you were alluding to a little bit, mm-hmm. has been very powerful in working with PTSD and trauma survivors. Mm-hmm. But then you had mentioned there was also a surf program for domestic violence survivors that's
yes.
starting up.
Yes, that's not our program, but there's a woman named Teresa Wolf, and I hope she won't mind me sharing this on the air, but I don't think she would because she's really trying to – she's starting this new organization. She's really trying to get the word out about it. So I didn't get a chance to connect with her before the show, but Teresa, I hope you're out there listening. She started a group called Coastal Thrivers, and as I say, I think they're still getting going, but a lot of the focus is specifically for survivors of domestic violence, getting out into nature and engaging in activities that provide, I think, that kind of peace that you're talking about, Van, mm-hmm. When you're out there surfing and everything else kind of goes away. I think I don't want to put words in her mouth. She could share it better than I could, but I think that's a thing that she herself has experienced. So she's got a big focus on surfing and then other kinds of physical activities too as a way of working with domestic violence survivors who are at a point in their healing where this is something that they want to do. This is not probably immediate for most folks, but they're at a point where this makes sense to them as a way to continue their healing process, a way to continue you know, moving beyond that trauma. So I think it's a very exciting thing that she's working on and doing. And I think probably if folks Googled Coastal Thrivers, it would come up.
Well, and I'm feeling that there's going to be a marriage of some efforts coming out of this. Because as you touched on, there is the immediate help that people receive when the trauma first happens. When veterans first return home, they are given a lot of services with the VA and opportunities for talk therapy or medications. It's what happens 6 months, 6 years down the road that I'm concerned about because, again, what's been happening over the last few weeks, a lot of people have been sending emails and reaching out and saying, I'm feeling feelings that I haven't experienced in 5, 6, 10 years. And I don't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And so I think what you're doing is through Operation Surf is teaching a skill that can have a tangible impact for the positive.
Well, one of the things that would be, I think, beneficial, you know, personal experiences is any opportunity that you can bring people together to develop a trusting relationship mm-hmm. through spending time in whatever activity, whatever platform where the you know, the population that you're serving gets a trusting relationship going, then they're able to feel the ability to talk about things that they normally wouldn't, you know, talk to a therapist or, you know, a psychiatrist or a psychologist or, you know, a counselor or any of that kind of stuff. And so one of the opportunities, I think, that has been my experience, what I love to share is any opportunity that you can, you know, bring together where someone can develop a personal relationship where they feel, you know, trusted and understood, then it's not so fearful to share the secret or the truth about the way they actually feel. Because one of the things is like, you know, we have this, you know, this uncanny thing to be, you know, operated through fear. Mm-hmm. And the fear of judgment and the fear of what you think of me and, you know, fear of losing something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if anyone can create an opportunity to create that bond where they have that trusting relationship to where they can actually say something without fear of judgment, you know, there's a relief about, you know, the talk therapy, like, it's very important. So when we talk about things, we get this stuff off our shoulders and the weight, you know, diminishes to where, you know, you feel lighter on your feet where you're able to do these things. And I know personally through Operation Surf that this is what happens during our week as we develop, you know, through, you know, positive mentorship, you know, that people talk about the things that they normally wouldn't talk to their therapist or their psychologist and psychiatrist is that, you know, at the VA or private services, wherever that. And that's what I feel very benefit. That's where I feel very grateful that what we do creates the opportunity for that. And so any organization that sets this opportunity is just, you know, wonderful. So I encourage you guys to just carry on and keep doing it.
Well, and that's, I think that's what we're looking at today is how do we know where to reach out? Where do we reach out when we feel like we need more support? As I said, you know, the veterans have a lot of support initially. The VA tries to offer these paths to healings, but they're very limited in what those paths are because, as Kirsten said, institutions have good intentions, but they're like steering a humongous ship. And even if you come up with information, you know, knowledge that says, you know, really dealing with PTSD would be more successful if you gave people an outlet, a backpacking trip, a surfing trip, you know, doing art, something that is physical and they can connect with other people, the things that you're saying. Unfortunately, this information, this knowledge, even though we're seeing success in programs like Stand Strong and in Operation Surf, to get the greater institutions like the VA to make moves on it, or even through the World Health Organization to start stating and giving credence and money to these different programs, we're way far away from that, which is why I wanted to bring both of you in, because on a ground level, you're serving people who have slipped through the cracks or haven't been helped by the more institutionalized care that's available. And people are looking around and saying, I've gone for services, I've taken medications, I've gone for counseling, I'm still not okay. Or it's been 20 years and I'm now struggling with these feelings. And so we're going to focus on for the next half hour, what are those wellness steps that we can take? If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guests are Kirsten Rambo from Stand Strong and Van Carazza from Operation Surf. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX, and we'll be back to open up the phone lines and continue our conversation. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And if you'd like to be part of the conversation today, our number is 805-781-3875. And we're talking about two different programs, Stand Strong, formerly the Women's Shelter, and Operation SURF, two programs that are offering services to people who are struggling in ways that aren't often recognized in the general public. That when someone is struggling with the trauma of domestic violence or sexual assault or childhood abuse, whether it happened last week or two decades ago, those feelings that emerge are real, and what kind of services are available for you. And so one of the things that Stand Strong's doing is offering community programs that anyone can come to that may inspire them to take, and I'd mentioned self-efficacy before because Van's program sees a huge increase in self-efficacy for veterans who have gone through Operation SURF. And so I think any time that people can take charge of their healing, can, you know, move out of the victim place and into this self-efficacy, I'm going to heal myself, I'm going to take measures to get better. Something like seeing Jackson Katz, Dr. Jackson Katz, come and speak is a huge step. So can you talk a little bit about that program and Dr. Katz?
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to. This is a fantastic opportunity, and you're quite right that this is something that I think lots of us have seen in a lot of realms. When you feel disempowered for whatever reason, when you are drowning a little bit in all the problems of the world, of our society, whatever it may be, or your own life, whatever, it can be incredibly empowering to take some steps to be part of the solution. And so the programming that we're bringing in October for Domestic Violence Awareness Month with Dr. Jackson Katz is all about that. And it's two really super exciting programs. The first one is a multimedia presentation that's going to be on Monday, October 15th. It's at the Embassy Suites, and it's called Men and Hashtag Me Too, Possibilities and Perils in a Time of Change. It starts at 5 o'clock with a reception, and then with the no-host bar, and then the talk starts at 6 o'clock, and that's at Embassy Suites. And then the following morning, there will be another smaller event, maybe it's a little more hands-on, that's a workshop called Men's Leadership in Gender Violence Prevention. And that's going to be at the Copeland Pavilion at French Hospital. That's Tuesday, October 16th. Breakfast and registration at 8:30, and then 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock is the workshop. And both of those are free, open to anybody who wants to come. We do just ask that you register in advance.
And how do people register?
Do that on our website, which is standstrongnow.org/DVAM. That stands for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So standstrongnow.org/DVAM, and you can get your free ticket that way. So you make sure you've got a seat, and that also helps us with the planning. But we're really excited to bring Dr. Katz. He is he's an author, he's a filmmaker, he's a theorist, and he's coming to us with solutions. I think if you were fortunate enough to attend the Women's Legacy Lunch recently, you heard Ted Bunch speak on a very similar topic around how do we engage men in ending this violence. And he really set the stage, I think, beautifully. And we expect Dr. Katz to come and say, okay, so now what can we all do? Mm-hmm. What can all of us do? Men, women, young people, older people, what can we do to create the kind of community that we want to live in, the community that says this violence is not okay. We're going to create a peaceful community made of peaceful homes and peaceful relationships.
Well, and it's, again, the kind of theme of the whole show today is how do we all stand strong? How do we stand up when we're feeling triggered, when we're feeling old feelings, to move forward? And it's stepping out of this victim role, this feeling like I'm broken, I'm damage, something's wrong with me because this happened to me at some point in my life. Because what we don't talk about is that when someone is traumatized, whether it's through combat or through domestic violence or sexual assault, the takeaway quite often is shame, that you experienced this, and an embarrassment that you went through this, and that you're still struggling with the feelings, or that you somehow were a target. And so the reclaiming of our soul is the word I keep using, but our identity, our wholeness, is the key to long-term healing. Mm-hmm. So becoming, taking yourself out of your home, going to a program like this with Dr. Katz, surrounding yourself with people who have similar feelings, because no one shows up for these things unless they have a personal connection to it in some way. Just like no one shows up to Operation Surf to volunteer, and there's many, many volunteers, unless they have a personal connection. And the thing that stands out for me about Dr. Katz, and if you don't know about him, please Google him, because you can see TED Talks and different films he's done. But there's one exercise he's done, he presented, and I've used it in classes for years, and he just stands up in front of the room, and the first thing he draws a line down the middle of the paper, and he draws a male, the symbol for a male on one side and the symbol for a female on the other side. And then he looks to the men in the room and he said, "How many things did you do today to prepare yourself to not be sexually assaulted before you left home?" And the men generally say, "Nothing. I just got my keys and left." And then he looks to the women in the room and he says, "How many things did you do today to prepare yourself to leave home to be sure you wouldn't be sexually assaulted?" And then the women can list 30 things, from making sure my keys are handy, making sure I have mace, making sure there's no one in the back seat of my car, and it goes on and on. And when you see that it takes, you know, women are thinking of 30 different ways to protect themselves before they leave home, you start to realize that this is a community issue. It's about feeling safe and peaceful in our homes and in our towns, and that we all need to recognize that. So the other piece that I wanted you to talk about was with a couple of other workshops, and they have Art After Dark coming up.
Yeah, this Friday we have Art After Dark, so I'm glad you mentioned our therapeutic art. This is going to be really exciting. It's at Yarns at the Adobe, which is right there next to Mission Plaza. Is that Choro? I think it's Choro Street. Cool little yarn shop. You'll see the tree out in front of the yarn shop is covered with purple yarn, which is the color for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we've got signs up about that and a little info sheet you can take to learn more about domestic violence and stand strong. But in the courtyard of Yarns at the Adobe, this Friday, October 5th at 6 p.m., we're going to have an exhibition of survivor art. And this is artwork that has been made by children, teens, and adults through our therapeutic art program. Some of our Spanish-speaking clients, some of our English-speaking clients. So the theme is Journey to Healing. And it'll, I think, be a really powerful and moving way to just get a sense of the kind of work that we do at our organization and the kind of work that survivors are doing to move through this process. And that also is free, and there will be some drinks and snacks, and hopefully no rain.
Yeah. And rain.
It's looking like it'll be clear. But so we'd love for you to come out to that and just kind of get a better sense of what we do.
And if people are feeling triggered, as I mentioned before, that what's happening in the world is making them relive some experiences that they're not sure what to do with, how do they contact you to get services?
The best way to reach us is through our 24-hour crisis and information line, which is 805-781-6400. It's always there. There's somebody always on the other end of the line. It's always completely confidential. And no one is there to convince you to take any particular action. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, I don't want to call because I don't need to come to shelter." Well, we're not there to sell you on shelter. You know, we often the shelter is often full. So we're not looking for folks to fill those spaces, right? We're there to just listen and hear what you have to say and hear how we can be helpful. We're there to be a listening ear, to provide information. And it's important to me that we refer to it as our crisis and information line, because we don't want people to feel like, "Oh, I'm not in crisis right now, so I'm not calling." As you said, you know, there are folks who haven't experienced this violence for months, years, decades, and they still need support. And there may be events happening recently in the world, in the news, that are really triggering, whether it's around sexual assault, whether it's domestic violence, and
or childhood abuse.
Yes, for sure. Childhood abuse, dating violence, any number of things. Mm-hmm. And we're just here to help. So if you want to call just to kind of process through that, we're there for that. That's the way to hook up with our counseling programs, our prevention programs, any of the programs I mentioned before. And, you know, we also have folks call just to say, "Hey, I've noticed this in my daughter's relationship," or I've noticed in my neighbor's relationship, and what do you think? I mean, is this sound okay? Is there something going on there? And we're there for all of that. We're here to just help understand, explain, process through that with you. So it doesn't need to be about something you personally are experiencing right in this moment. If you're someone who wants to know how to support someone else through this,
bringing
or just
light,
learn more.
Bringing light to the subject. I mean, I think
Absolutely.
That's really what time is. The things that we don't talk about, it's the secrets that we keep that make us sick. And I think that's what Van talks about. I'm forgetting the name of the documentary.
Resurface,
which is available on Netflix.
Correct.
And it focuses on one of your veterans who came through Operation Surf, and I recommend it to everyone to watch. It's 30 minutes long.
29.
Yeah, thank you. but it's a powerful watch. And what I keep thinking as I'm when I watch that movie and when I'm thinking about the work that you're doing, that people want to have their dark brought to the light. You know, you talk about my childhood, my journey is kind of dark, but you found healing when you were able to bring it to the light. And Operation Surf provides this safe space, as you said, a trusting space where the veterans who have come home and kind of pushed all of their memories or their bad feelings underground are able to bring it to light.
Well, I guess what it boils down to is meet and Bobby was almost every war veteran feels like they need to go back and support their brothers and sisters still across the line. And, you know, even though their injuries may be, in my eyes, really horrific, I just want to get back and go back there and support them. And one of the things is I realized that there's a war going on here mm-hmm. on our own homeland here, in the United States. And one of the things is if we can share our experience to know that what I found out to be helpful for me is I realized I took a lot of guilt and shame off my own shoulders, that if I can share my experience with anybody that it would help, then everything I went through was for a reason. And that's just an adjustment of perception. And so if we have the ability to be of service and think about and get together with other people and share your own personal experience, your experience on how you're getting through your daily struggles, then you're actually giving back to somebody else, which actually puts a positive spin on the negative stuff that you're going through. And so it really helps you, it helped me realize that, just being around other people with like-minded problems going through the same stuff, and if my experience can help somebody, it's part of my being able to put my head on the pillow at night and feel good about what's going on in spite of the experience can never be taken away.
Right.
It's always there. And so
your story is your story.
So when those feelings that you're talking about, when they come back and I have found that, being of service and helping other people is what really helped me deal with when those feelings of, inadequacy and, cause domestic violence, I think about, how I treated myself. I treated myself worse than anybody. And so when I put myself into that place where I need support, it's because most likely I'm doing a lot of it to myself. And, being around positive people that have, personal experience can help you say that, it's okay,
And that's, I think, ultimately what real healing is being able to find peace with the story of our life. Not forget it, not bury it, not try to make it go away, but to be able to look at the story of our life and find peace, and then be able to, as you said, find a new way to live, find a new way to move forward, take in all that you've experienced it and put it in different avenues, whether it's being a part of Operation Surf, whether it's volunteering for Stand Strong or attending events that support Stand Strong and the efforts that they put out there, that by showing up, mm-hmm. we're healing ourselves.
Absolutely.
Because we spend a lot of time hiding out. And when we're struggling, when people are emotionally struggling, when their mental health is compromised, when you're feeling the remnants of old traumas or abuse, your first instinct is to retreat people want to get under the covers, or they want to just get lost in Netflix, or they want to get lost in the bottle, or they just want to make the thoughts or the feelings go away, and they try to bury it and numb it. And it's counter, you know, to what we really should be doing. Even though every part of us is saying, hide, run, I don't want to feel the feelings, make them go away, I'll just keep running from them, it buries them deeper and we get darker. And so the biggest step that we can take is to step out of our homes and out of the dark and start connecting. And the first couple of things you connect with might not be the healing things, but if you keep connecting, attend Dr. Katz's lecture or his workshop, you know, come out and volunteer for Operation Surf, because I know there's still some volunteer opportunities that are available. You know, go and talk to a neighbor, take a pie to someone, you know, do something that builds your self-efficacy. I mean, that just really is the key, is to take charge by moving forward, because stepping into the dark, retreating, is going to continue burying those bad feelings. So let's talk a little bit about next week and Operation Surf, because there's some opportunities for people to support the heroes. Mm-hmm. Starting on the 9th, everyone arrives.
They arrive at San Luis Obispo Airport just around noon, so mm-hmm. you can welcome them to our community and, you know, give your presence as supporting, you know, our veterans, and, you know, and thank you for your service, you know, is because, you know, they, that's the one thing that I realized that is I don't support the wars and the political agenda behind them. I support the men and the women behind the jobs that they do to protect our freedom. And so just going in and showing your support on October 9th at noon at the airport, and, you know, just clapping and saying, you know, thank you as they go by, you know, is one way you can do it. And, you know, I guess you have on there also our opening ceremony coming up on the 10th in yes. Avila Beach at 9 a.m.
9 a.m. at the base of Avila Pier. Yes. So another opportunity for the community to come out and show their support.
Yeah, that's what we start off, you know, we start off the week, the program, through, you know, an opening ceremony and give the opportunities for, you know, hopefully some of our, you know, city and county and, you know, local government dignitaries can come out and say thank you. Welcome to San Luis Obispo County. So that's an invite for all of you out there. Hopefully you're listening.
All of you officials.
Yes. So, you know, everyone's invited. And, you know, it's just a start off just to, you know, say, you know, thank you. Let's get this surf trip going.
Right. Let's start moving forward towards healing.
Yeah.
And then on the 10th and 11th, you're in Avila from 9 to 2:30 yeah. with your actual surf program, getting the veterans in the water. And you have volunteers in every aspect, along the shore, out in the water,
yeah.
helping with food. On the 13th, 14th, you're in Morro Bay at The Rock from 9 to 2:30. So what kind of volunteer opportunities, and how do people connect if they want to sign up? Because I know you have a very intricate sign-up list.
Well, first of all, go onto our website, AmazingSurfAdventures.org or OperationSurf.com, and I think it's Get Involved or Volunteer button. I'm not really sure. if you have any questions, call us at the office at 805-544-SURF. That's 7873. And, you know, and ask any questions, because I know right now we're short on setup and breakdown through actual, you know, putting everything up and taking everything down. We just had a little meeting this morning, and we only have a few couple, 2 to 0, mm-hmm. on, you know, on Tuesday and Wednesday. So if you're physically capable and want to give back in any way, just give us a call or check us out on our website.
And it is, again, we're talking about taking those first steps. If you're home struggling with your own issues or feeling triggered or not sure what to do with all of the negative energy that seems to be flowing, do a positive thing.
Right.
Reverse that energy.
Well, I just realized when you were talking just a little bit ago, as I had developed this feeling, is dealing with the feeling is healing, because mm-hmm. I was a runner. I ran through so many different activities or substances or whatever. And so when I realized that in order for me to deal with it is I had to deal with it and find a positive way to deal with it instead of the negative ways that I did in the past. And that's that change that we all want, you know, for all of us to be able to embrace. As you know, for me, it's problem solution. You know, if there's a problem, get into the solution. If I continue to live in the problem can continue. And if I live in the solution, the solution will present itself. And, you know, so dealing with the feeling is healing, because I know
like the subject. Yeah. Like your one-liners, fan.
Well, it's the subject is because I realized through my own personal journey that I wasn't dealing with all my feelings. Mm-hmm. I was running from everything. You know, I had this vision of an ostrich in a hole, sticking his head in the hole while the whole world was going on around. It was like I was trying to pretend like nothing was really going on. And so, you know, just that image was to just pull my head out and deal with it.
And see it. And also, I think what surprises people through the 20-something years that I've been doing this work, I think what always surprises people is that when they do pull their head out and start looking around, or when they turn around and face the feelings or face the trauma, that it's not as bad as they've imagined it was going to be, that the actual steps towards healing aren't as overwhelming or crushing as you feared.
Well,
the running was more painful than the actual...
By yourself it is.
Yes.
But together it's not as bad.
True.
So finding that support group, finding those people that understand, getting around people that are not judging and are actually just are there for the genuine, unconditional love and support,
yes,
allows us to be able to embrace the challenges that we have in front of us. It's because no matter how strong you think you are, you're alone. It's not very easy.
And hence why we have Stand Strong. It's a perfect way to kind of pull this all together. So if you're struggling alone, come out of the dark. Mm-hmm. And make your first call, your first step to Stand Strong. Can you give the number again, the support number?
It's 805-781-6400. We're there all the time. There's always somebody friendly on the other end of the line. So don't be shy to give us a call.
And don't diminish what you're struggling with. If you think, well, it wasn't that bad of a thing that happened to me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as bad as other people's experience of being assaulted. Please don't diminish what you're feeling, because the feelings are the feelings. And however it impacted you, this phone number is available, this support. And if they don't have the services, they'll make sure they get a referral to you.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we do. And, you know, there are so many ways to plug in and connect. If you want to be part of the work that we're doing, if you want to feel like you're part of this movement, then let's do it. We're going to have a booth at Farmers Market every Thursday in October. So stop by and see us if you want to see some friendly faces and learn more.
And sign up for different activities or find out.
Sign up.
Don't
come
forget
to our Jackson Cats events on the 15th, Monday night at Embassy Suites, and then Tuesday morning up to October 16th at French Hospital Copeland Pavilion.
StandStrongNow.org. /DVAM to sign up. Thank you, Kirsten Rambo, for being my guest today and for doing what you're doing for Stand Strong and moving us into the future.
Thank
and
you.
Van Carrazza, I will be on the beach with you all next week, so I look forward to the work you're doing and appreciate the work you're doing for our veterans. People can get in touch with you through?
Through our website, through our phone, 805-544-7873, our Facebook page. I need to give a little shout out to our local veterans out there too. Is we have a local program called Operation Surf for Veterans, and it's for our local coastal community veterans right here in San Luis Obispo. And so if you have or you are a veteran and would like to surf with other veterans and meet other people that are in the same journey you are, give us a call and contact us also. It's just not about our event here coming up in October. Is we actually have programs for our local veterans also.
Thank you, Mitch. Thank you, Van Carrazza. Thank you for supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We'll be back next week to continue this conversation. Join me on my Facebook page. Send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com and listen to previous shows at kcbx.org.
Just for